96.5 The Fan.
Plenty of things to work on, which is a good thing. If you're coming off a win, we know there's some things there that we need to do a better job with, especially playing a good Charger team this week. So I would tell you the same things that I told you last night as far as the people that had the good games. There were some guys that really played well. I started with Bolton just getting the wind knocked out of him and then sneaking back in there and making a big play like that was tremendous at the end there. Maybe the best thing that took place was nobody was pointing fingers or everybody was supporting each other, working their way through. And that's happened really the last three games in these tight games, knowing that you're going to get people's best shot. You're going to have to take it for right down the four quarters. So with that, Steele had a nice day with 17 carries for 77 yards. I thought Rasheed played well, had over 100 yards in receptions. Again, there were things that all of these guys, we can all do better here, myself included. But there were some positives that you can take out of this thing. So, and it's always good to get a win. Wins are hard to get in the National Football League. And so when you start criticizing wins, there are a lot of variables that go into it. But we're finding a way right now, but we got to clean it up and play better football.
You're listening to the Andy Reid press conference on KFNZ FM and AM HD 1 and 2 in Kansas City.
Go first to Blair. Go ahead, Blair.
Thanks, Kelsey. And I'll have a follow-up as well. Andy, Patrick was pretty down on himself. Not down, but, he was himself critical after the game last night. I'm just wondering what you're seeing from him.
Yeah, listen, he's a phenomenal player. I thought he just kind of got into a rhythm the second half, and a lot of that's my responsibility to get him into that rhythm earlier. We'll go back and I'll discuss all that and get that taken care of. But I thought he really hit it well the second half there, and had some beautiful throws. That throw to Kelsey on the deep cross and the throw to Rasheed, same route, two different throws though, and it was spot on there. So, he ended up finishing well. We kind of botched up the last play of when we weren't trying to kill, when we were coming out of the end zone there offensively. We had a missed route there. So, but other than that, there are a bunch of things that we, like I said, we can clean up, but it'll be all right.
And also on that cleanup list, does it include the kind of the goal line area? You had each of the last couple of weeks short field goals, and I'm wondering what it's going to take to get it punched in.
Yeah, it's tough to win games like that, and it's like just scoring 3 points. You get down in there, you gotta get it in. We've chosen to run the ball a little bit down there, and then we did have a turnover in that area, so we got to do better with that when we were throwing the ball.
We'll go next to Vahe Gregorian. Go ahead, Vahe.
Hey, Andy. Kelsey, I'll have a follow-up also. Andy, by now you've won so many of these games close like that that you must have great confidence into the last minute, just assuming believing you'll pull through. But I do wonder what it's like, the stress of the situation is like, even if you feel like you'll pull through somehow. What's that like for you in the last minute of all these games?
Yeah. It's so much stress, I can't talk, Vahe. I don't think you get used to it. You don't want it to come down to that. You're trying to score as many points as you obviously can, but Or, you know, that's how things go. But the trust that the guys have in each other, I know that's easy to say, but when you actually have that, the guys know that something's good is going to happen. Becomes very important. And, you know, but you surely don't want it to come down to that.
Yeah. And thanks, Andy. And the other thing is, it's really another point on Patrick, just that he spoke last night about wondering a little bit himself about his own footwork and maybe relying too much on his arm. Is that something that you've seen or something that you think you'll be talking to him about?
Yeah, I think he'll be fine there. Just getting him in rhythm, I think, is an important thing. And that encompasses all of that stuff, the footwork and the knee bend and the, you know, his drop and so on. So, and then, you know, the more we secure things up front also helps. And so he came off a game where he had to get the ball out quickly last week with the pressure that was on him. But I thought the offensive line did a nice job here. And I think Pat will see that. And that also helps the situation.
We'll go next to Seren Petro. Seren?
And Kelsey, I'll have a follow-up as well. Coach, I know on Pat's interception into the end zone, it looked like maybe he was, you know, he had pressure coming on him definitely and was trying to maybe get the ball out maybe a little bit earlier than he wanted to. I know quarterbacks are always like more time, right? Like, you know, if you can get it for him. But is there something there that, you know, maybe he forced it a little bit and is trying to make a play, and maybe that's when he throws away and instead of going ahead and trying to put one out there?
Yeah, well, we should have had the protection for him. We botched the protection. So, or that's a touchdown right there.
Okay. So, Xavier Worthy, I know you've said there's a lot to clean up. You've mentioned some route things. You haven't mentioned anyone specifically, so I'm not trying to pick on him, but where is he now in, you know, the nuances of your offense of maybe bending away from safety help and, you know, curling routes, doing the sitting down and those kind of things that are required of your receivers, you know, in his evolution of where you want him to be? Is he 50% of the way there, 60, 80? I mean, how would you evaluate that?
Yeah, no, he's doing a great job with that. I pulled off on a couple of the routes just with some of the things they were doing, but he had a number of routes there in the first 15. I chose to pull off them because of what they were doing. So, but he can, you know, he's doing a nice job for us. He'll have other games here where he has more grabs. He did a nice job with the quick game stuff that we were using him on.
We'll go next to Pete Sweeney. Pete?
Coach, just wondering your assessment of Wanye upon second look and whether or not that can kind of be assumed to be the status quo, at least moving forward for the short term here.
Yeah, listen, I thought Wanye did some good things in there. So we'll probably stick with that same thing. You saw where Kingsley rotated in and played some tight end to that. So he was able to get some good reps in there. And then again, Wanye, you know, had the good reps at the left tackle spot. So do they both have stuff to work on? Yes. So we'll keep their young guys, you know, they're young guys in a tough position with a tough go here. And they've got another good one coming here this week. So that they've got to prep for. Couple good ones. So we've got to make sure we keep growing, but they're surely getting tested early.
Looks like we have three more. We'll go first to Todd Lebo. Todd?
Hey, Coach, I wonder if you could just talk a little bit more about what you saw from Rashee Rice getting so many targets. I know you throw to whoever's open, but is it ideal to have him getting that many targets, or would you like to spread around a little bit more?
Well, I mentioned to you, you know, how Rashee's game goes is kind of how Kelce's goes. So what they're doing is they're working hard at taking Kelce out of the picture. and Kelce is going, hey, listen, if they're going to do that, then Rashee's going to get a lot of catches. You know, he knows that. And but somewhere that levels off. And, you know, that like it did the second half. And Kelce's catch numbers went up there. So, But you know, Rasheed's he's a force in there. I mean, he's a good football player, and he's tough when he has the ball in his hands. So I'm sure he'll be getting a lot more attention as we go.
We'll go next to Matt Derrick. Matt?
Hey, Coach, a couple of questions. But one, you kind of referenced the stopped route that Xavier had on that last drive when near the end zone trying to get out. How much of that is still just you've got a lot of young guys in that receiver room that Patrick's still getting to learn and getting to know and building chemistry with, that you have little miscommunications like that?
Yeah, that actually wasn't him. That was his compadre. So ran the wrong route. So he just stopped, so he didn't run into him. But yeah, but there. Listen, they Pat checked to a play there, and the communication got a little mixed up. So one of the routes wasn't the right route.
And
it wasn't his. So
I appreciate that. Clarification. And defensively, this defense has talked a lot about in the past games about, you know, killing the engine as far as stopping the other team's run game. Even in this day and era, you know, how important is that when your defense is able, as it has really the last three games, to be able to stop a lead running back that's been doing pretty good on the other team?
Yeah, no, that kid's a heck of a runner. They got two good runners. And I thought we stepped up and did a nice job there up front. I started naming off the guys last night, but I mean that it's really all of them collectively. That whole front seven is just doing a nice job of, and the safeties too. We're being accurate with our tackles there, so that's and physical, which has been good.
We'll close things out with Matt McMullen. Matt.
Hey, Coach, you mentioned how wins are hard in the NFL. Well, you won your 132nd game as head coach of the Chiefs last night, and that's actually more wins than you had with the Eagles, which is pretty remarkable considering all the success you had there. I know you don't normally get wrapped up in this kind of thing, but what's that mean to you?
Yeah, it means I've been around a lot of good players and good coaches. It's not a, as you know, it's not a one-man show. Been lucky to be with two great organizations, and then you're only as good as your next one. So that's how this thing works. So it really doesn't matter what took place in the past. When you're in the present here, man, you gotta stay on top of your game, and that's all of us. And we know we're getting everybody's best shot. And you know, there's a funny stat that goes with that. I mean, since 2006. The record for teams coming off two home wins to start the season, going into game three and winning game three, there's been 3 out of 13 that have done that. Well, now 4 out of 14, but 3 out of 13 going into our game that had done that. So 10 of them went home not happy. And so staying on top of your game becomes an important thing. There's a certain mindset that goes with that. And however it gets done, you know, however it gets done, whatever phase of the game or person picks it up to make it happen becomes an important thing. So, you know, when I look at these things and I pick out the positives, that's what I'm looking at. We'll work on the negatives. But the night of the game after a win, I'm going to pick out the positives. And then, but the boys know that when we get back, we'll make sure that we take care of business and try to get ourselves better, which we all know we need to do.
Thank you, Coach. That's all we
all
have
right,
for you.
All right, so that's Chiefs head coach Andy Reid exclusively on a Monday here on 96.5 The Fan, home for the Chiefs. A couple of things stood out. One would be in particular that, and understandably so based on performance, they said he would probably stick with the rotation at left tackle. Now, I don't think it was a real rotation. Lonnie Morris was the starting left tackle for this football team. Kingsley was in there on some third downs when they brought in an extra offensive lineman. I don't know if it's fair to say it was a full-blown rotation by any means. But Lonnie Morris, he held his own. I don't know if you feel great about that position by any means, but he held his own. He wasn't really discussed much during the game last night, which is always a good thing. He didn't stand out, which is usually a good thing. And so that is going to be your left tackle for the time being, which is what
for
we acknowledge.
As far as I'm concerned,
we acknowledge like that was why I didn't think ultimately they would make the switch to from Kingsley to Wanye, frankly, because you're not switching back to Kingsley unless Wanye gets hurt or something. Like it's just now you're basically saying that the rookie you drafted that won the battle out of camp is not going to start. And I don't know if unless I missed something when we were up at camp every single day or just about every single day. Last night during the broadcast, Chris Collinsworth kept mentioning, you know, Wanye had this knee injury during preseason. If he didn't have that knee injury, he would have been the starter week one. I would love to know, was that the spin that he was told during his meetings? Because that was not the scenario by everybody that covered the team. I'll tell
Correct.
You that here in Kansas City. Kingsley was always working as the number one during camp. So like the notion like, oh, Wanye's knee prevented him from being the starter week one. I don't think that's accurate. I don't know if that was just miscommunicated by Collinsworth or that was what he was told in their meetings, which is interesting because that was not how they operated during training camp.
Correct. That was not the way that it was discussed at all here in Kansas City. Some of this, I think, is a little CYA. I think it's a little cover your ass because go back to just this most recent press conference when Andy Reid just tried to cover what he told us on Friday, which is they would rotate left tackles. And when on Friday we told you they're never going to do that because the team's never done that. Andy tried to claim that they did that just now, and they didn't, okay? It doesn't really matter, but they didn't do that. Bringing in an extra tackle on short yardage situation is not rotating him in. That's the same as bringing in any tackle or any extra guard in a short yardage situation. The starting left tackle is Wanye Morris. He did a nice job, so unless his play turns bad in a hurry or he gets hurt, Wanye Morris is going to be this year's starting left tackle for the entire season, which means back-to-back years where one of your top two picks is in a redshirt year. Kingsley Suamataia, not really likely to play much, if at all, this year. Last year, Felix Anudike Uzama didn't really play much. The year before that, everybody played except for Sky Moore, who was a second-round guy. But, I mean, for the most part, they've had at least one guy a year who's kind of like kicking it for a little bit out of the first two picks, which is fine. Just as long as you've got enough of a talented roster of the guys to cover, I'm not offended. I want them to play the better left tackle, but at the same time, it just feels like the future plan, which we don't have to worry about now, feels way murkier than what we were discussing a month ago.
Andy was also asked about that interception that Mahomes threw where it was underthrown and Worthy kind of had to come back to try to break it up and play defender. Otherwise it was, they botched the, sorry, this was on the actual interception. My apologies. He botched the protection on the offensive line there on Patrick's interception. They should have had a touchdown. So let me restate that, not the interception that Worthy made, not an interception in terms of breaking it up, if that makes sense, as I'm probably not making a whole lot of sense. I apologize there. The actual interception that Mahomes threw should have been a touchdown. According to Andy Reid, protection was botched.
I need to go back and watch that play.
Not the
that just looked like a bad
touchdown.
Read to,
yeah.
I mean, like upon watching it live, it just looked like Mahomes didn't see Justin Simmons coming all the way across the field. And truth be told, Justin Simmons kind of had his ass in his career. He's got five or six picks against
protection maybe led to the underthrow, I guess, on that. And then they were fortunate there wasn't another interception where it looked to be underthrown to Xavier Worthy. But two different plays. But either way, there was a couple times protection. There was a third and one where Mahomes originally was a run call and then maybe checked to something else and then tried to check back. And then the offensive line was still pass protecting, which led to them getting stuck.
The offensive line was pass protecting and they did a shotgun delayed handoff on third and one. And I wanted to, leap into oncoming traffic. So, but that was like part of that was just a straight miscommunication. Maybe the play would have worked if half of the line wasn't in pass pro. Mitchell Schwartz actually did a really good job breaking that play down.
Yeah, he's a great follow during the games.
Sometimes people get you. Like, there's no, I don't get offended sometimes. Sometimes the other team also makes a nice play. Like Jesse Bates, when he broke up that pass to Travis Kelce. I wasn't mad because Travis Kelce didn't get that third down reception late in the game, in the fourth quarter, at a pivotal moment, when a first down can make the difference between them having two less minutes of game time or not. Jesse Bates made a nice play. He was covered well on Travis Kelce, and then he got his hand in there somehow to break up the pass play. Sometimes they get you. Sometimes they get you. And on that play, if you look, I just watched it. He doesn't get to step into that throw did not have the juice on it. It feels like it should have had. But still, it just feels like another one of those. Mahomes had three straight games this season where you're like, oh, no, not that pick. Oh, no, not there, right? So, you know, you want those to start reducing as time goes on. I know other people are tweeting about the numbers. We can get into that later. But, like, I know people are talking about, like, the number of sacks or the number of interceptions he's thrown or, you know, is it the anti-Titan?
Yeah, look, Mahomes was on. I mean, in postgame, Mahomes was pretty honest. Quoted as saying, I have to get my base right. I'm trusting my arm too much. I got to get back to my fundamentals. So he's not right. You know, what causes that? I think he said that's something that usually happens like later on in the season and he has to get back to it. Usually he doesn't start the season with some of these issues. It's happening sooner this year than it typically does. So I don't think anybody really is all that concerned. Like, he hasn't been playing sharp, but is anybody actually concerned that he's not going to figure it out? Give me a break. So that's something
that won back-to-back Super Bowls.
Not really that concerned that he doesn't make adjustments and get going.
I know for the most part, I think we're probably on a spectrum of how much we think it matters. QB wins. So do you take anything into the fastest, most wins and first 100 career starts? 77, that's the most all time out of any other quarterback, because I don't think you can both be like, QB wins mean nothing, and then throw this stat out there, because there is something to it. I think QB wins have been overvalued, but now we've probably gone too far to the other side, like running backs,
probably
where we pretend like they don't mean anything.
It's probably fair. I would say in the context of that particular stat, when you're saying, hey, we think QB wins may or may not be overinflated or overvalued. But when you're talking about doing something that's never been done or the fastest, I think there's something to be said with that. Even if you think wins are QB wins is a bad stat to use to justify a quarterback's play,
I think it's bad if you justify it on its own.
Right. But in this circumstance, when you're talking about, like, hey, doing something that was faster than even Dan Marino and these other quarterbacks, I think that says something. Now, if you're going to just say flat out, like, and we're comparing in a 2-year, 3-year sample size, let's just use Allen, Burrow, Mahomes, and Jalen Hurts, and you're just going to look at the wins, and that's how you're going to decide who's ranking out the quarterbacks, that's, to me, a mistake. I told you, we've used this example plenty of times. Alex Smith, if all you based it on was, there was a 4-year stretch where Alex Smith was the second best quarterback in football then.
Yeah, and I don't think
anybody actually believes that.
No, I think it's a... To me, it's a little like running back, where there's just some nuance. A QB win is not an unimportant stat, because having the ability to win is not nothing. Like, winning, because that means you won close games, you won games at the end, you managed, you know, like, you held on to things, you held on to the ball long enough to prevent the other team. But it feels to me like it's more a joint stat. It speaks more about the relationship between the coach and the quarterback in the organization than just speaking about the quarterback. I don't think Patrick Mahomes breaks this record if it's not Andy Reid right alongside of him. If his coach was, let's just use Drew's guy, Zach Taylor, do I still think he has 68 wins, 69 wins? Yeah, man, probably. I'm not an idiot. I bet he still has plenty of wins, maybe more than that even, right? But maybe not the all-time record for most wins in their first 100 career starts. Like, he's only better by one game than the guys you just mentioned. I just, like, it's in the in-between where it's not nothing, but, it, you know, like, I don't want to just dismiss that stat, like, oh, good for you, QB wins don't mean anything. But, I mean, I also think that there's, like, a lot of context you need when you start throwing around wins. That's all.
I think it'll be... It's not enough to be a part of the conversation, I don't think, but the Matt Nagy versus EB thing, Carrington yesterday had brought up, since the Tyreek Hill trade, Mahomes has had 36 starts, 30 picks. Somebody said since Eric Bieniemy was gone, Mahomes has had a ratio of 29 touchdowns to 18 interceptions. And again, I think part of it's decision making and all this other stuff.
Context matters. As you know, I saw that, and that's everybody's prerogative to put out whatever.
I just thought it was an interesting
one. I think this is where context matters, because also during that stretch, what was the wide receiver room? We just acknowledged that Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore and MVS were their top three wide receivers going into a football season. We all know that's who's that on.
Sure, you know, but I mean, that doesn't mean that this year are we going to use the same excuse if he?
No, trying to build up what the narrative is later. You asked
me. I don't think this is a narrative yet.
Yeah, you.
I just said that.
I hear you.
We don't need to make anything of it yet. But it's interesting to. It's something that just stands out and it's noticeable. It doesn't mean anything.
Drew, I hear you. But you brought up a stat. I gave my opinion on said stat. So, like, it was interesting enough to bring it up, and so I'm just giving you my opinion on it. I'm saying context matters when, if somebody's going to just, like, during this 17-game stretch of this guy as an OC or not, like, it's not as simple as just, like, well, here it is, like, context matters. Who were the wide receivers in that point in time? Who were the opponents they were going up during that time? Mm-hmm. What if was anybody else hurt? Were you out an offensive lineman? I don't think it's I'm just saying it's not your stats, so I get it. I don't think it's fair just to put out there like blindly.
Sure.
Under this OC and under this OC for 17 games, here was this quarterback's touchdown to interception ratio. There needs to be a much deeper conversation. That's all.
Yeah, I think it's more, again, just as we talked about with QB wins, nuanced than just as simple as here are the facts and what does it look like outside of that. Someone did say on the text line from the 816, Alex Smith would be a $64 million a year quarterback. Honestly, he'd probably get paid $60 million a year at some point, or $50 million a year. He'd be paid just like he was. He was a mid-tier starter. And there's lots of teams love themselves a good mid-tier starter. But because a result of that, most of the time, you just get capped out on playoff appearance, maybe a home playoff game, if in a good year, an AFC title game, and then that's kind of the end of the road. That's why the Chiefs obviously eventually made the shift to Patrick Mahomes, and we're living in the single greatest Chiefs era of all time. It's nice.
GST that Swifties are not happy with Patrick Mahomes.
Because what, he's not throwing it to Travis enough?
Yes.
Get out of here. Come on, Swifties, you don't have to do this. Like, I'm not looking to pick a fight.
Boy.
Don't get me wrong.
Oh, boy.
That'd be like picking a fight with Kendrick Lamar if you're another rapper. I'm not trying to pick a fight, Swifties. I'm just saying, long season. It's cool. Everything's fine. We can wait to pick that fight later if you still want to, but I think it'll be okay. Again, you and I both said at some point, I expect, you know, Travis Kelce
to having TikTok videos on conspiracy theories of Mahomes not throwing to Kelce because of...
They're going to show... Oh, man, they probably already dug into the times when he's open and he didn't throw it.
I bet so.
Like in the Wanye touchdown, he's just wide open in the back of the end zone. But it's more fun to throw to Wanye. This isn't an anti-Travis thing. It's just more fun to throw to the offensive lineman who's open. That's all. Also, I'm pretty sure that's who the ball's supposed to go to on that play.
Oh, it's designed for Wanye last week.
Well, it was absolutely designed for him.
Yeah.
That's absolutely who they drew the play up for. It just so happened Kelce was also open. What a bummer that would have been if he just would have thrown it to him instead.
Yeah. I'd say it's slightly.
I was a little irritated though, because they did have I fell into the pit of Travis Kelce anytime touchdown last night, and they had the ball in the red zone. I was like, come on, man. Just give it to your guy one time. He didn't even target him.
Nope. He's been. For all their red zone troubles, boy, do they love an in-the-round direct snap. It's always the same stuff. You can't score in the red zone unless
Mahomes
you're creative.
Playing wide receiver, yeah.
Andy thinks you can't score in the red zone unless you're creative. That's been a long-standing thing for him, and it's getting...
That particular one, though, I mean, you won't even do a quarterback sneak with Patrick Mahomes. Do you think the opponent is actually worrying about Patrick Mahomes motioning out to wide receiver? You think they're actually concerned? And I know you'll be like, well, one of these days, we've been saying it about the QB sneak for 4 years and they haven't gone back to it. It's like, I just had it hard to believe that a defense is taking the quarterback, in this case, Mahomes, motioning to wide receiver seriously when they know you won't even let him QB sneak it. You think they're going to actually let you throw a football up in the air to him so he can just get knocked out by a defender while they're trying to break up the pass? Because a defender at the 1 yard line will still, if it means knocking Mahomes out of the game, they'll take the DPI in that moment. You don't want to get a free shot as a wide receiver. Don't need Jesse Bates getting a free shot. Although I'll give the Falcons credit, unlike some other teams that have not acknowledged losses. Did you hear Justin Simmons after the game yesterday?
That was why they lost.
He's like, that PI penalty. Look, that's not why we lost the game. Much respect to him. Same. Versus other players on other teams over the first 2 weeks of the season. Haven't been able to just take the L and move on. They've tried to make excuses constantly. You know, Cam Taylor-Britt, others.
Whoa,
Isaiah Likely.
Excuses made.
There were some excuses made on that end.
By the Bengals?
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear them talking about penalties.
Fans will always make excuses.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, that's different. That's definitely different.
All right, up next, we will talk a little bit about the Royals. 7 losses in a row. It's gotten very, very sad at this point in time. Is there any hope? We'll discuss it next. Coming up in 10 minutes or so, we'll get to the random question of the day, as we do each and every day right here on Cody and Gold. You can interact with us on the Jay Southland Toast Service text line, 913-586-7965. We also took some calls earlier. We can do that a little bit later on. Your thoughts on the game. We even had caller John from Overland Park, who's a Bills fan, calling earlier and said, the Chiefs might get the three-peat. You're going to get it, but you won't get the four-peat. Now you're in 3 in a row, but you won't get the four-peat. That was an actual call earlier. Brought up the calls again. Let's go back out to the phone line. John and OP wants to talk about the Chiefs, I guess, getting the advantage from the refs. What's going on, John? You're on Cody and Gold.
Yes, the Chiefs always get the advantage. I'm going to tell you this right now.
Okay.
You guys win a three-peat, you're not winning the four.
Dun, dun,
such
dun.
A Bills fan thing to say, too. You guys might get to three. It's not even that you guys won't even get to three. It's you guys might get there, but you won't get four.
You're going to get that first fan thing. You're going to get that historical three-peat that's never happened in NFL history. But damn it, you're not getting a fourth.
But the buck stops there.
Not on my watch.
Not on my watch. It's not as, like, I think it's one of those things when he says it, there's just no way that he heard it. But at the same time, like, oh my God. Like, okay. Like, even us in Kansas City, where I pretty much will not settle for, like, oh, what if they get two more titles, but then they don't win anymore? Like, I'll just play it out. Because the Chiefs fan, you have to play it out. If you guaranteed me they won the Super Bowl this year, but they didn't get the four-peat, okay.
Yeah, you'll take the three-peat.
You know what?
Never happened.
Sold. Right here, right now, I'm willing to forego next year's Super Bowl championship if you can guarantee the Chiefs the three-peat this year. Like, they are off to a good start to it. It's hard to argue with the way that it's been going, even though imperfect, they are still right where they want to be. So
let's also get to, though, the reality across the parking lot.
Ugh.
Six games
but
to go.
But it's bumming me out.
Oh, it's sad now. We've reached level, like, there's anger, I think, for a lot of people, but it's also just kind of gotten sad. A team that won 56 a year ago, a team that has been in a playoff spot for months in terms of just the standings, mm-hmm. that had a nice cushion, that, yes, lost 100 RBI guy in Vinny Pasquantino, but then found a way to stabilize it for a week or two, that now they have lost seven in a row, including those games in the final homestand of the season. They hadn't been swept at home all year. They end their season at home getting swept both times. Seven in a row, still in a playoff spot, barely hanging on for their dear lives with three against the Nats and three against the Braves on the horizon. Thank goodness today's an off day. Man, oh man. It's sad now, man. It's sad, pathetic, whatever you want to use. Like, this team has zero offense whatsoever. And like, I can't blame anybody that's like, well, why do I think tomorrow's going to be any different? I can't blame you.
No, I don't know. Just life changes sometimes. I mean, I'm looking for anything that's going to make me think the tides can turn. We're all doing the same stuff. Like, what jinx reverse hex nonsense mm-hmm. sacrifice does this show, does this city, do any of us need to do in order to make this thing better? But the truth is right now, this would be the single biggest choke job in Royals history. Because they haven't had that many playoff runs in general. They've had a lot of trouble overall. And while I know that they're coming off a bad season last year, they're in a playoff spot. And they have two different seven-game losing streaks this month. This month! So I just want you to put that in concept. If in each of those two seven-game losing streaks, they eked out one. Yesterday, when the bases were loaded and they were only down 2-0 and Salvador Perez was up to the dish, he smacks a homer one time, they win it. And then in the previous seven-game losing streak right after Vinny got hurt, they win one of those. So just two. I'm not changing the math on everything gold. I'm saying in a seven-game losing streak, you won one. They'd have almost no chance to miss the playoffs. They'd be three games up on the second wild card, two games up on the Tigers with the tiebreak with six games to go. They almost couldn't be eliminated from the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
It took this level of bad to even threaten it. And now, I don't know, we could talk about this. I think they got to go bare minimum 3-3 to be a postseason team now. No more of this 2-4. I think bare minimum 3-3 to be a postseason team this year. I would argue 4-2 is pretty much a lock for you, but 3-3 bare minimum to get into a postseason spot. And that's terrifying for a team that's now lost seven in a row.
Yeah, the Twins, I'm sure in Minnesota, I haven't listened to any sports talk radio in Minneapolis here recently. I'm assuming in Minnesota, they're saying kind of the same thing. Like, this team has been playing terrible baseball. Thank goodness the Royals mm-hmm. are doing this right now. Otherwise, we'd for sure be out. I'm sure they're saying that in Minneapolis, much like we're saying, man, thank goodness the Twins also been playing some pathetic baseball. But the Royals have been one of the worst offenses in baseball since Vinny got out. Yes. With the injury. And
I have to look it up.
And there's no replacing that. We knew that at the time. But to have this drastic of a shift is honestly kind of mind-boggling. It really is. Like, I get it. It's easier to navigate the lineup when you don't have that. So you don't have to approach Vinny, or you don't have to approach Bobby or Salvi the same way. But to get nothing, I mean nothing, out of your lineup. What did they score on the homestand? It was like 5 runs?
Yeah, well, they scored one each of the last. They scored 0 yesterday, 1 the day before. So
I think like 5.
I'm not even sure.
Something
it was
like
5.
Over the entire homestand. I don't know. During the, yeah.
In the home. Oh, the homestand, not the home series this weekend.
Homestand. Homestand.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was like, I think they scored like 1
row. Homestand. Over the final homestand of the season.
Because that's what sucks. They've been such a good home team this year. Their offense is a better fit for Kauffman. All the normal things you would come to expect. And the pitching is given more than a chance to win. Like, the pitching is certainly keeping them alive. They scored 1 run against the Giants. They scored more in the homestand because they scored 6 in a loss against the Tigers on Monday. But then 1 and 2 in the previous. So in the last 5 games, they've only managed 4 runs. So they are averaging less than 1 run per game over the last 4 games. And in those games, they had great performances from Chris Bubich, Seth Lugo, Cole Reagans. Like, Waka had a pretty good start. Like, they had plenty of good pitching over the course of that stretch in which they could have won games. They lost 1-3, 2-4, 1-2, 2-0. Like, they're not 6-7. They weren't just getting walked out of the door. They just needed one more run, that 3-4 the game before that against the Pirates. But that's what happens when you've just lost all confidence. My fear is, can they find it again? After the last 7-game losing streak, they won a game. And when they could breathe for a second, they played some relaxed, good baseball for a stretch. Can they recover from this one? They see their playoffs slipping away. Like, I mean, slipping away.
Yeah, there's no hiding from it. They're well aware of the situation they have put themselves in. They're well aware of how they're playing.
Yeah.
I thought last Thursday's off day hopefully was going to be what you just described, though, Cody. I thought
just a
last
chance
Thursday,
to breathe.
Find a way to win on Friday, then take a deep breath and settle in. And, of course, that did not happen. Now they're off today. Then they're on the road the rest of the way. They're in D.C. beginning tomorrow. They're going to take on a Nationals team that has been better in the second half than they were earlier. Young team. But their best player, one of their best players, they just sent down. C.J. Abrams just got sent down by the Nationals because they were playing a day game against the Cubs
in
Chicago.
Story.
And there's a photo of him at 8 a.m. before a 1 p.m. game, I think it was, in Chicago, spending an all-nighter at the casino.
Who amongst us hasn't been at the tables till 8 a.m.?
Look, normally I'd say, hey, I get it. Don't get up from a heater. Problem is, someone also, the real lesson here, the real lesson here is not just that, hey, the Nationals are sending him a message that, hey, if you want to, you know, if you want to be taken seriously and become a superstar, you got to take this sport more seriously the day before a game. There's that lesson. There's also the lesson that, man, why are you playing roulette? Why are you playing roulette? It's not slots, but not great odds, man. Play craps, play blackjack. What are you doing here?
I guess real question is, couldn't he, like, so the night before, so this is not performance-based. The night before, he went 4-for-5 with 2 doubles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a very, very, very good player. Couldn't you just bench him for a game and give him the old stern talking to? You got to send him down?
I think they have a really young team, and they're trying to send a message. No matter how good you are, this is the expectation within our organization. I think that's the message that the GM? Is that Rizzo or whatever?
Mm-hmm, Rizzo.
That they're trying to send in D.C.
They're also probably worried that, like, we got to stop this now or then it's really going to get out of control. I'll say what he just did. Like a Tuesday night in the 90s.
At this point, maybe
Tuesday night in the 1980s. Are you kidding me? That's a nothing. That's a nothing during different eras of sport, but now that people have social
photos.
Media and photos.
I mean, look, we said earlier in the show on the Royals end, no idea is a bad idea anymore to get out of this slump and to survive and find a way
Correct.
To still get in. Look, maybe the team needs a loose night. You know what? Take everybody to the casino. Maybe pay off Cody's bet. You do all of it.
We're going together?
Whatever you need. Everything's on the table. Maybe they do need to spend the night out till 8 a.m. and be a little hungover. Anything works at this point.
That's the Varsity Blues argument. They lost that game, dude.
I understand.
you're essentially describing the night in Varsity Blues. They lost that game. They drank too much. They stayed out late. They went to a strip club. They lost that game.
What's worse? They lose 8 in a row instead of 7 in a row?
Yeah. Look, they do need some looseness. Why don't you make them a song? Let's mix it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get an Alex Gold song for tomorrow, you know?
Definitely not
Let's
happening.
Let's change it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for a change.
You made a song, and you said they're basically saying they're going to make it. The song was about they're going to make
it. I stand by that.
And if the playoffs were today or tomorrow, they would make it. But I'm with you. I think 3-3 at bare minimum just to give you a chance over the next 6. But I get for people listening, like you're saying they're going to win three games. They've lost seven in a row. What makes you think they're going to win three? It all starts, of course, tomorrow against the Nationals when Cole Reagans is on the bump. But yeah, I don't care if it's Reagans, Lugo. I said earlier, it could be Reagans, Lugo, Pedro Martinez, and Randy Johnson the rest of the way. They're not scoring any runs. I don't really care who the starting pitcher is right now.
The problem is, by the time they actually score runs, can they get more scoreless outings out of their bullpen?
Yeah.
Because what's missed in this losing streak is the bullpen's not getting its ass kicked. Bullpen's been fine. All the pitching's been fine. The bullpen's actually been doing a pretty solid job keeping things close, keeping the team in it, giving them a chance. But yeah, it's tough. Our guy Ben Heisler suggested I get a cardboard cutout like that one from Major League, or just slowly reveals my body parts. Look, if someone can get it printed off by tomorrow, I'll take a shirtless, I'll take a photo in my underwear, and we can peel those things off for every win for you, Alex. Yeah. but someone's got to get that thing printed by tomorrow.
Yeah.
So unless somebody's got that kind of skill set, I'm not going to have that ready.
Threw
you know?
Up in my mouth a little bit.
It's been tough. It's been really tough.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Over in the text line, 913-586-7965. We'll, of course, take your answers over on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook, where we live stream the show all 4 hours every day. Question I have for you today is a personal unenjoyment of something, and I'm curious if I was on my own because it's been too long, or if everyone agreed with me. So I saw a trailer. It's been everywhere on every single platform for Joker 2. Right, they're getting ready to release the second Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix. I thought the first one kind of stunk.
I never saw it.
And then I was like, wait, am I alone on this? So I wanted to ask the people, 913-586-7965. What was your enjoyment of the first Joker movie, and do you want to see the second one? I have no interest in the second one due to the fact I didn't know it stunk, but I thought his performance was fine and the rest of the movie was blah. So I wasn't blown away. I can't believe you didn't see it. That feels like a movie that'd be right up your alley.
Yeah, I did not see it. I know it was very popular. It did over like $1 billion in the box office. But no, I did not actually see the 2019 movie Joker.
You didn't see it?
So you didn't like it, though. You're a real encouraging sign for me to go see it. You're telling me you didn't think it was any good.
I don't know. I mean, so T. Nolte over on Twitch says, nah, it was great. Little slow, though, but great. Another person just said they straight up didn't see it or wasn't bad. Wasn't bad is not a ringing endorsement for a sequel-based movie.
No.
Wasn't bad? I don't want to see any sequel of a movie that wasn't bad. I'm looking for something a little more like... Drew, have you seen it? Maybe I should have checked to see who saw this movie.
Okay, I have not seen it, and the reason why...
I should have asked a different question. I figured one of you guys had seen it. It was a very popular movie.
The reason why is I think it is it's the Heath Ledger thing, is that there is only one person who should play Joker, and it is Heath Ledger, and I don't want anything to do with anybody else who is trying to play Joker.
That's actually a really good point. I think of a lot of people.
There's one guy that hit a home run, and I don't want to see anybody else trying to portray him.
That's fair.
Someone says, I thought the first movie was one of the best movies I've ever seen, so they loved it. This next person said, Joker sucked. It was so boring. The first Joker was depressing and sucked. Two thumbs down. But then after that said, thought it was great. You know how this is. There's always a movie that is just, like, not like people are like, it's fine, but people either loved it or they thought that movie stunk. And when you're on the opposite side of that, it always feels like there's a big dividing line. I'm sure that there's an example of a movie that you felt that way too.
The consensus, I think, around the first Joker movie was you had to go in, if you didn't know, if you thought going in it was going to be anything like the Dark Knight movies, it wasn't at all like that. It was a very depressing movie is what it seemed like from other people talking about it, actually. Like, you had to go in kind of knowing that. Somebody said they think you didn't like it because you kept critiquing the Joker's crimes and how it should have been done.
No, it wasn't it. I was just, I saw that they were making a sequel. And I'm like, hey, we need a sequel for this. Like, also, a sequel. So, like, the movie is an origin story of the Joker. And now I'm getting a sequel for the origin story. That's just, so eventually, are you just going to make a Batman movie then, I guess, where he's the full-blown Joker? Like, what's the next step into the, I don't know. It just didn't.
Yeah, but they're cranking out these movies so quickly. Now it's all about money more and more with all these. I know we've talked about even Marvel and stuff like that in the recent, like a lot of that is just there's so many different movies now on purpose based off of just the financial element of it. Like, I feel like we're not even getting the quality. It's a quantity thing going on with a lot of these at this point.
This is more. So I guess if you could describe the movie in the way that you would describe it, other than just like the trailers, what would you say it is?
Okay,
it's the first movie? It's almost like a biopic of the Joker and how he gets to that.
It's not a Batman movie. I don't think it was meant to be that. It is an origin story about how the Joker becomes the Joker. And essentially it's just, he's clinically depressed. His life stinks. He thinks everyone's out to get him. Some people are out to get him a little bit. And then eventually he starts doing some awful stuff because he's got nothing left to lose. And he's probably also mentally unstable, as you would imagine with somebody who is eventually the Joker. But it was like, again, like the movies that are the toughest for me from a good movie perspective is, I think Joaquin Phoenix is a good actor. I think he does a nice, convincing job playing this person. They just banked the whole movie on the idea that he's a good actor, and they put no other juice behind it. No storyline that moves along, and just kind of, I don't know, fell flat. What's the last movie where you were like, you loved it and you couldn't believe other people didn't? There's always... Always examples of that.
Boy, oh boy. Most of the movies that I've seen recently, though, have always been just kind of like the bigger blockbuster ones. As far as more of the out there movies, it's been many, many years. I told you, now since, I don't know, the last year and a half or so, like, I probably go to two or three movies a year max in theaters now. The rest I just watch at home or wait till they're available at home. Like, I think if you have kids, you're more likely to have gone to a movie theater in the last 3 weeks or something.
I mean, I've got kids, so obviously I get there every once in a while.
The last time Bree and I went to a movie theater was 2019
was the last time you went to a movie?
Because everything's
now we're getting into a whole different conversation. Are you kidding? That's crazy.
Dead serious. Everything's accessible now. So, like, it wasn't a movie to me. One movie that I wanted to see in theaters that I didn't was Oppenheimer, but I've seen it now, and everything's accessible now. For the most part, you just wait a little bit, and you can watch it on whatever subscription service. There's a lot of the Marvel movies post Endgame haven't had the greatest reviews. But I thought some were more
enjoyable than they let on. Yeah,
yeah. I enjoy movies, but then you look at like the Rotten Tomato reviews, and they're like 31% of people approved it. They get like 4 stars, and I think that the movie actually is okay. A lot of the Avengers or the Marvel ones post Endgame.
So I guess you're not going to go see Joker 2, is what you're telling me.
No.
No need to.
I need to see the first one first. I suppose
we can have difference of opinions. We don't have to like movies the same, you know. The next movie I'll probably go end up seeing in theater is that kids' robot.
I haven't seen the new Twister movie. I didn't go in theaters for that. I'll watch it on Amazon or whenever it's already out there. Maybe.
But that feels like you guys don't think that there's some movies that deserve to be on a big screen. No, so, Twister is an action movie.
Any new Bond movie I'm seeing in theaters.
I thought Oppenheimer deserved it.
Bond movie I will see in theaters.
I was about to say, you didn't think it deserved it that much. Drew said Oppenheimer deserved it. He hadn't seen a movie since 2019.
I bet you can't guess what movie was either. I was going to say.
Movie in theater 2019. So the Joker came out in 2019. We know it wasn't that. It was 2019 movies.
Hold on. I want to at least look at a list of movie releases so I can.
Okay, I'm sorry. It was 2018, actually.
Wow, even longer. 2018?
I just looked up the movie. 2018.
That was the last time you saw a movie in the theaters? 2018?
Yeah.
Now, this is best movies. I don't want best movies. I want box office. Drew didn't just go see, you know. Okay, so Avengers Endgame.
Black Panther?
No.
That was 2018.
You know what? I'm going to guess, because of all this Scooby-Doo
stuff.
My guess is Frozen 2.
No, that
damn it, that was a good one.
Cody is more in the ballpark.
Drew's out of here seeing Crazy Rich Asians or whatever. What movie was it?
Damn it.
It was The Grinch, the new Benedict Cumberbatch Grinch movie. There's nothing more that my wife enjoys, I think, more during Christmas time than The Grinch movie. She loves The Grinch movies. And we went to go see that one. Yeah, with Benedict Cumberbatch.
And that was the last one.
Yeah, the last movie in movie theaters.
And the experience wasn't that great, apparently.
The movie was good, but in terms of like the cost, somebody said too expensive nowadays.
It's crazy.
I think that's part of why. Oh, I'll wait eventually, and I'll see it on Netflix or I'll see it on Disney Plus, particularly, or Amazon, or Peacock.
I just think some movies are, you know, like I want to see on the big screen. That's all. Like any Tom Cruise action movie, I want to see.
Yeah.
I want to see in a theater.
I wanted to see Oppenheimer, but I didn't take. I guess you're right. I didn't want to see it enough because I didn't take the time to go and watch.
I get it. I mean, I get it. It's expensive. It did say Drew saw Endgame. Did you see that in theaters?
You never saw Endgame?
No.
Endgame would have been.
I've watched Endgame like four or five times. I haven't. I didn't see it in movie theaters. No.
That's crazy. That's
that was one where I think going back and watching the videos on social media of like of seeing Robert Downey Jr. with the gauntlet on or whatever it's called and snap his fingers. That was like an all-time moment where on social media people were going nuts, and that would have been cool to be at the theater for. But again, I don't know. If you go to a movie theater, I want to watch the movie. I don't want to react to the movie like other people. I feel like that's a...
I don't clap at the end of the thing or whatever.
Yeah.
I also just watch the movie. Not everything is like a stage play. That's just like the end of Endgame.
Sure.
Know?
I mean, everybody's that's just like going nuts.
Moment,
it's
like, yeah, that's like a moment in time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Slightly different. That's my random question of the day.
Interesting.
I'm surprised to find out. I figured just one of you just... you feel like you're in the demo for Joker. Like it was in the ballpark, but... How many movies you seen this year? You say like two?
This year, yeah, probably. If that. Yeah. Yeah, I would say we're right around two. I'm trying to think of the two movies though. Most of them, like this theaters, it's not like when many years I would go to three, four movies a month, but
it used to be a really big deal to go to the movie theater. Like you go with your friends, you get the popcorn, all the music's playing in the lobby. But now it's I don't know. It's lost its aura, if you will.
I do agree to a certain extent. It's not the same vibe as it once was.
All right. Just the text line's being funny.
Which one, Cody?
All of them, honestly. Someone said I needed to see Magic Mike in IMAX. Perfect movie for the theater. You're like, yeah, that's fair. That's it. That's all I just wanted to know.
That's the random question of the day. Up next, we get to the 1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Goal. We get right back into the Chiefs in particular. One player's performance that has us thinking what the ceiling could be in 2024.